Good day, this is Mary reading from the Herald and Review, August 3rd edition. Firefighters were on the scene in downtown Decatur Wednesday morning as smoke emerged from a building on Main Street. Smoke was coming from the building between Heritage Behavioral Health Center and the Lincoln Square Theater. Main Street traffic was being diverted at William Street. Police and fire lights are visible from El Dorado Street. This story will be updated. From Decatur, if you want to bring law enforcement officers together with other community members, the best way is to have them stick their legs together in a burlap sack and run back and forth across the lawn. I feel I may have embarrassed myself at the sack race, said Decatur Police Lieutenant Shane Brandell after two valiant tries at keeping pace with boys with much shorter legs. But the embarrassment was worth it for the enjoyment of those who were watching. About 200 city residents, along with dozens of officers, firefighters, and community leaders, gathered for the National Night Out, an annual crime prevention event that was held Tuesday night at Hess Park. Lisa Jones came out to see friends and enjoy the sight of the community coming together. She said it's a great thing for the police to come out and try to build a good rapport with residents. I think they're doing a good job, said Jones, a family support specialist for Baby Talk. I think they need some improvement on both sides. With all the negative incidents occurring across the nation, the Decatur community has responded by becoming more collaborative, more positive, Jones said. The atmosphere at the park was festive, with adults dancing with youngsters to tunes played by a DJ, the two bounce houses overflowing with children and dignitaries shedding their dignity in a dunk tank. I absolutely love this event, said Decatur Township Supervisor Lisa Stanley, who stayed dry by staying away from the dunk tank. I see a lot of young kids out there having a good time. She says she likes to see the police mingling with everyone. That is definitely needed, she said. Kinsey Zellers, one of about 10 employees of the Target store who volunteered to help with the event, said she thought it was cool to see the police out in the park dancing with the kids and hanging out with the community. Target workers operated a bounce house, sold 50-50 tickets, and brought food, water, and prizes donated by their company. A Champaign resident who works at the Decatur Target, Angela Ruggles, said she thought it was a great event because it brought everyone together with the police showing their support for the community. Lisa Reese, a 9-year employee at Target, has been volunteering to help at the Night Out events every year. She recently began working closely with the police after taking the assignment as the store's asset protection team leader. When I stop anyone at the store, I have to call them, Reese said. They're really good at their job. I respect what they do. They're awesome. Deputy Police Chief David Dickerson said that holding the event at one park this year instead of several, as in past years, helped make the event a success by making all the resources available for everyone. We try to take advantage of every opportunity to engage with the community, Dickerson said. Decatur firefighters also came out in force, with Fire Chief Jeff Abbott taking his turn getting waterlogged in the tank. Fire Inspector Larry Ball manned a table filled with fire prevention items, handing out stickers to children. I think it was very successful, Ball said. Having one area made it more of a carnival atmosphere. Ball said many people were asking questions about fire safety. They asked a lot about smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, he said. The kids learn about fire safety in school, and sometimes the kids teach their parents. The event began with an award ceremony in the late afternoon at the Decatur Civic Center Plaza and proceeded to Hess Park with a parade-like caravan of police vehicles, as well as a 1955 mint-condition Chevy convertible carrying Grand Marshal Pat McDaniel, a Decatur City Councilman. Rochelle Irons, the city's director of neighborhood services, gave awards to Howard G. Buffett for his foundation's anti-crime contributions, and to Alita Graham, the Reverend Todd McClelland, and Wendy Taylor for their work as neighborhood leaders. Irons said that in previous years, when the event was held simultaneously at several venues, the turnout was lower than this year's at Hess Park. We want to try something different, Irons said, and it worked out beautifully. Taylor, who was accompanied by a Torrance Park camper, 7-year-old Aaliyah Anderson, said she was glad the Night Out event is still up and running. With a lot of things that we've had to let go of, it's still going strong, Taylor said. Also in Decatur, youthful cleanup crew impresses neighborhood. After the police-involved shooting of a 40-year-old man took place on July 11, several young people stepped forward to speak at a downtown rally, urging that police respect them while asking for peace to prevail. In the wake of that shooting and the effective rally, Youth Involvement Community Project was formed to help steer the energies of young people in a positive direction and improve the neighborhoods. On Saturday, the group recruited about 25 youths, along with a few older people, to mow yards and clean up trash on the city's south side. Jimmy Gorish, 19, one of the group leaders, helped organize the cleanup, which kicked off at Eastwood and South Jasper Streets at 11 a.m. and had lawnmowers still roaring away on 17th Street more than 3 hours later. Gorsuch, a cell phone store manager who is studying for his GED, said he and other group leaders, Rico Blaylock, Alaya Buck, and Bria Hearns, have been together a great deal of the time since the rally. "We're focusing on the kids," Gorsh said, referring to the children, six and older, who were out in force, providing a good deal of the effort to clean the grounds and cut lawns. "We're trying to do this a couple of times a month. Later, we'll do the east side, west side." On a gorgeous day with temperatures in the low 80s, Gorsh was thinking ahead of other ways to help neighbors and teach skills to children. He plans to be out with the volunteers to rake leaves in the fall and shovel snow in the winter. "We want to keep our community together," he said. To Tanya Crow, a recent MacArthur High School graduate, said she was impressed by the efforts of her fellow volunteers. "They're putting in a lot of hard work," Crow said. "Nobody is complaining. I'm happy to see all these young men participating." A high school member of the student council in the Elite Energy Show Choir, Crow is heading to the University of Illinois at Chicago this fall to study criminology, law, and justice with a business minor. An aspiring lawyer, Crow recommended the efforts of the Youth Involvement Group for organizing the clean up, or commended the efforts of the Youth Involvement Group for organizing the cleanup day. "It's good for the community," she said. Volunteers were working on Clay Street when a resident, Robert Combs, crossed the street and asked, "You guys represent a church or something?" When he was told it was a community group, he said, "It's good to see people giving back instead of taking away." Combs, who sports a tattoo on the left side of his head, identifying himself as a crazy cracker, commended Tony Brown, an off-duty Macon County Sheriff's Lieutenant, for coming out to participate. "It's good to see an officer out here helping," said Combs, who said he's not a fan of the police or people in general. Although the volunteers did not cut his lawn, which he recently cut himself, Combs said it was awesome to see so many people doing something constructive or positive instead of something dangerous. "These guys aren't doing something to get paid," he said. "They need to see this all over the place." When Combs first saw all the people working outside his house, he thought it must be a church group spurred him to action. "I came out because I thought I'd go visit that church," Combs said, adding that churches usually don't do anything like this in public. "I thought I might want to be a part of that." Jason Frazier was so impressed by seeing a group of people working unselfishly in public that he decided to deliver a carload of free sandwiches to the crew. A Jimmy John's delivery driver, Frazier consulted with his boss and returned with enough food to feed everyone. "These guys are working hard for the community," said Frazier, a graduate student at Millikan University. "They're helping the elderly, helping people who can't get out. It's awesome to see when so many people came out to do something that has an impact on everybody." The Reverend Courtney Carson, the group's spiritual advisor, said having a Jimmy John's driver pull up with a load of food near the end of the project was an example of God's grace. "If you put your best foot forward, God will provide for all your needs," Carson said. "We can do all things through God who strengthens us." Carson was impressed by the outpouring of support from the community for the young people. "So many people responded with love," he said. "People gave dollars, but we were doing it for free. Then we were able to buy more gas to cut more lawns. I'm in love with the young people's desire to do something good for the community." D.D. Austin, a 15-year-old Eisenhower High School freshman, said he was inspired to help out when he heard about the project from friends. He said he wanted to help make the neighborhood beautiful instead of being filled with ugly trash. "I'll come if they have other events," Dunryden said. "It's been a wonderful day." Quentin Young, 41, a lifelong Southside resident, spent the day helping the younger people, picking up bags of garbage and filling mowers with fuel. "I'm trying to guide the young people to do something right," said Young, who performed several kinds of volunteer work in addition to cutting hair. Jacorius Harper, 14, who had mowed four lawns in the first few hours, said he came out especially to help the elderly and help the community. 10-year-old Jaden Woods, who also mowed several lawns, said his goal was to make his community clean. In addition, he wanted to keep trash off the streets to help the keep the animals safe because otherwise they would get sick and might die. The youngest crew member, 6-year-old Nyland Plato, was sitting on the tailgate of a parked pickup truck after contributing to the effort by picking up trash. "I'm not tired," Nyland. Also from Decatur, a man who battered a woman in a car was given a prison term. It's by Huey Freeman, staff writer. Ricky Eubanks, 27, of Decatur, was sentenced to 3 years in prison for aggravated battery after he entered a woman's vehicle on the near north side, then battered and strangled her. Eubanks was arrested shortly after the incident and booked into the Macon County Jail, where he has been held until his plea hearing Thursday. About 7:30 p.m. July 10, the 27-year-old victim was sitting on the driver's side of a vehicle as it was parked in the 1300 block of North Union Street. Eubanks, with whom she was acquainted, entered her vehicle without permission and began battering her, said an affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Brent Morey. During the attack, Eubanks hit her with a closed fist in her nose, mouth, and left eye. Eubanks then grabbed her by the throat and began to squeeze, causing her to lose her ability to breathe. He pulled the victim by her throat to the floorboard on the passenger side. She repeatedly tried to leave her vehicle, but Eubanks pulled her back each time. The victim suffered visible injuries, including a laceration on her forehead, several abrasions on her throat indicating strangulation, swelling above her eye, an abrasion near her mouth, a bloody nose, and lacerations on her back and near her armpit. After Eubanks was charged with 4 felonies, including vehicular invasion, a Class 1 felony punishable by 4 to 15 years in prison, he pleaded guilty to Class 3 aggravated battery in exchange for dismissals on the other counts. At the time of his arrest, Eubanks was serving a term of conditional discharge for an April 21 conviction of domestic battery causing bodily harm. Eubanks has 10 prior criminal convictions since 2006 for charges including attempted burglary, DUI, and marijuana possession. He has served 1 2-year prison term and 3 jail terms. In his most recent case, he will be eligible for parole from the Illinois Department of Corrections in 2018. 19-year-old Decatur man fights for life after early morning shooting, also by Huey Freeman. Decatur. Police are investigating the shooting of a 19-year-old male Decatur resident who was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries early Saturday morning. The incident occurred about 2:45 a.m. in the 3700 block of North Portage Place, about 1/4 mile southwest of the intersection of East Mound Road and North Woodford Street. Decatur patrol officers were sent to the scene where they found the wounded person. Detectives arrived at the scene to investigate the shooting incident. Anyone with information is asked to call the police at 217-424-2711 or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477 or visit www.decaturcrimestoppers.org. A reward will be given to anyone who provides information leading to an arrest. This story will be updated as more information is available. This story is by Teresa Churchill. Justice Council works to save juveniles from a life of crime. A disproportionate number of young blacks in Decatur continue to be arrested, but it looks like the situation may be getting a little better. According to Macon County Juvenile Justice Council, 571 of the 893 juveniles arrested in 2015 were African American, compared to 624 of 910 2 years earlier. That's 64% versus 69% for anyone who's counting, not to mention a 2% reduction in the total number of arrests. The second percentage needs to come down as much as the first does, as I'll explain in a moment. In case you were wondering, a little less than 32% of Decatur's juveniles are black, according to the U.S. Census Bureau's most recent survey. Perhaps the council's behind-the-scenes efforts are impacting the arrest numbers. Its members just initiated a local conversation, for example, about improving police, community, and juvenile relations. Or maybe it's the more visible side of the council's work. An annual public forum started 2 summers ago called Crossroads for Change, Build, Prevent, and Restore. Among the most memorable speakers at the inaugural event in 2014 was retired State Judge George Timberlake, chairman of the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission. "Incarceration is a failed policy," he said then. "If you think locking a kid in a room will make him change his behavior, you're right. It's just not the behavior you want." Fast forward to last month's forum, and Timberlake was back with a message just as compelling as it was troubling. Because juvenile records can be shared legally with 30 organizations or subdivisions of government, even an arrest that results in no charges can follow someone for life. Contrary to popular belief, he said, criminal records are not automatically expunged when an individual turns 18. Because some police officers also buy into that myth, they may be arresting more juveniles than they would. And then, as the State Commission found in its April report, Burden for Life, only a fraction of 1% of the eligible arrestees ever get their juvenile records expunged, in part because they don't know they should, and in part because the procedure is so difficult. What do you think happens among 30 organizations and 30 or 50 or 100 people in that organization when they start talking about a kid, Timberlake said. That leaky information makes it to the internet, and it's for sale. That should be illegal. That should be the crime we're talking about today. As a result of information sharing, affected individuals have trouble renting a nice place to live, are denied professional licensure, and can't find good jobs, he said. Lives change for the better when people feel they're a part of society, he said. When they don't, their lives don't. Timberlake told a disturbing story about a 14-year-old boy who smoked a joint and was adjudicated as delinquent. 3 years later, he was fired 2 months after he was promoted to assistant manager at McDonald's when the owner became aware of his record. What has this to do with whether you can do a good job at McDonald's when you've proven that you can? Timberlake asked. Elida Graham, coordinator of the Macon County Juvenile Justice Council, said two surprising findings from forum evaluations were that attendees felt frustrated that more people did not attend, and they did not have the chance to attend more breakout sessions. She said the event has attracted about 100 people all 3 years. The council statistics for 2015 show that Macon County juveniles were arrested for physical violence more than for any other reason, and that domestic battery accounts for nearly half of those cases. Graham said she believes youth are doing exactly what they've seen the adults in their lives do, and that's use physical and verbal abuse to solve conflicts. It's pervasive, she said. The violent times we're living in are waking people up to a lot of issues that start with our youth and carry into adulthood. That's what the council is trying to change. This next story is by Tom Murphy. Humana beats 2Q forecasts, details ACA-related scale back. Humana beat second quarter earnings expectations and reaffirmed its forecast for 2016, even as the health insurer set aside an additional $208 million to cover expenses in its individual commercial coverage. The company also said Wednesday it was scaling back that individual businesses for next year and would only cover it in 156 counties compared to 1,351 this year. The insurer also said it will sell coverage on Affordable Care Act individual exchanges in 11 states next year, down from 15 this year. Humana, based in Louisville, Kentucky, provides individual coverage for nearly 500,000 people through its exchanges. It covers an additional 200,000 million customers off the exchanges, a small slice of its total medical membership of 14.2 million. Other major insurers like United Health Group and Anthem also have recently detailed struggles with coverage they sell on the ACA's state-based exchanges, which have helped millions of consumers gain insurance since they opened for enrollment in the fall of 2013. Aetna, which is trying to buy Humana, said Tuesday that it canceled its exchange expansion plans for 2017 and was taking a hard look at the markets in which it is currently participating. Insurers have been struggling with higher-than-expected claims on the exchanges and lower-than-expected support from government programs, among other issues. Humana also is one of the nation's largest providers of Medicare Advantage plans, which are privately run versions of the government's Medicare program for people over 65 or disabled. The company said Wednesday that its core businesses remained strong in the second quarter. Overall, Humana earnings plunged 28% to $311 million compared to last year's quarter when it booked a $267 million gain from a business sale. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring costs and amortization costs, came to $2.30 per share. Analysis expected on average earnings of $2.22 per share, according to Zacks Investment Research. The health insurer posted revenue of $14 billion in the period, which topped the average Wall Street forecast for $13.63 billion. The company also said Wednesday that it still expects full-year earnings to total at least $9.25 per share. Shares of Humana edged up 52 cents to $170.09 Wednesday morning, while broader indexes were flat. Humana shares have decreased 5% since the beginning of the year, while the Standard & Poor's 500 index has climbed 5.5%. Next story is by Christopher Ruggeber. Survey shows U.S. businesses have added a solid 179,000 jobs in July. U.S. companies added 179,000 jobs last month, according to a private survey, a steady gain that suggests hiring remains healthy after a sharp fall-off in the spring. Payroll processor ADP said Thursday that services firms such as retailers and shipping firms added 185,000 jobs, while construction companies cut jobs and manufacturers added a meager 4,000 positions. The report shows that many businesses are still hiring, even as growth has been sluggish this year. The additional jobs, in turn, could keep Americans spending and support a pickup in growth in the second half of the year. Still, the ADP data cover only private businesses and often diverge from the official figures. Economists forecast that the government's jobs report to be released Friday will show a gain of 175,000 jobs. The unemployment rate is expected to tick down to 4.8% from 4.9%. That would be below June's surprisingly large gain of 287,000. But it would underscore the notion that hiring has recovered after plunging to just 11,000 new jobs in May and a modest 144,000 in April. Even so, this year's sluggish growth has raised concerns about the economy's broader health. Growth has slowed to an annual pace of just 1% in the first 6 months of the year, half the already tepid 2% rate of the seven-year-old recovery. And despite decent job gains in some months, companies have pulled back on hiring this year. Job growth averaged 172,000 a month, according to the government's figures, in the first half of this year. That's down from 237,000 a month in the final 6 months of last year. That downshift likely reflects the fact that the unemployment rate is nearly back to what economists call full employment, and there are fewer available unemployed to fill jobs. That can weaken hiring, particularly when growth is sluggish. The unemployment rate may keep falling, however. Most analysts estimate the economy needs to add just 85,000 a month to absorb population growth and keep the unemployment rates. Here's a story out of Royal Oak, Michigan. Beaumont plans new Royal Oak commercial retail development. Beaumont Health is planning a new commercial retail development at the site of a shopping center next to its main hospital complex in suburban Detroit. The health system says all retailers except for Beaumont businesses vacated the Northwood Shopping Center in Royal Oak earlier this summer. Beaumont said Wednesday it submitted preliminary documents to the city about its plan for the 183,000 square foot development. It's also seeking brownfield tax incentives to help cover the cost of environmental cleanup of the site, which was home to businesses including an auto repair shop and a dry cleaner. Beaumont has owned the property since the 1980s. Plans call for demolition work starting this fall. Details of a timeline for construction are expected. Decatur Effingham, among Illinois Ruby Tuesday locations, closed Wednesday. Employees of Decatur's Ruby Tuesday restaurant were notified electronically Wednesday morning they no longer had jobs. Would-be customers were greeted at lunchtime by employees saying goodbye to one another in the parking lot and occupied with putting the restaurant's unused food into their cars to take home. A sign on the door simply said, "Closed, thank you." The scene was repeated Wednesday at Ruby Tuesday locations, including Champaign and Effingham, and probably more. The word to Decatur employees at 7:25 a.m. from manager Josh Von Lincoln was simply this: "Regrettably, all of Jerry's restaurants have been closed. The closing has nothing to do with how our team performed," he wrote, adding, "I'm sorry you were not given any notice. I just found out 10 minutes ago." Messages left at Ruby Tuesday's corporate office in Maryville, Tennessee, were not immediately returned, nor were messages left for Von Lincoln and for Jerry Ruta, owner of the company that owns the restaurant franchises in Illinois. According to a U.S. bankruptcy court filing for Chapter 11 reorganization in 2012, RT Midwest Holdings and its subsidiaries had a combined debt of $135.7 million and assets of $15.3 million. According to Ruby Tuesday's website, other Illinois restaurants were located in Collinsville, DeKalb, Downers Grove, Fairview Heights, Gurnee Mills, Litchfield, Melrose, Morton, Rockford, and Skokie. The Quincy location closed in a similar fashion May 17. Daryl Reynolds, a server who worked at the Decatur Ruby Tuesday for nearly a year, said he was among about 60 people working there. "Everybody's still stunned," he said. "No warning, no nothing." The restaurant opened on July 13, 2005, with 4,600 square feet and seating for 107. And a story by Ryan Voles: Decatur's unemployment rate stays at 6.8%. The most recent unemployment numbers present a sense of stability in the Decatur area. The unemployment rate for Decatur in June was 6.8%, according to Illinois Department of Employment Security Statistics released Thursday. June marked the second consecutive month the unemployment rate was at 6.8%, and it is down from the 7.1% rate this time last year. There were an estimated 3,400 unemployed people in the labor force in June 2016, according to the report, and a loss of 300 total non-farm jobs in the last year. Even though we're seeing some growth in other industries, it isn't enough to offset some of the losses seen in fields like construction, said Tom Austin, a labor market analyst with the department. Industry sectors growth was mixed in the Decatur area, with healthcare and social assistance seeing an increase of 300 payroll positions, while leisure and hospitality and wholesale trade both increased by 100 jobs. A decline in 200 jobs was experienced in transportation, warehousing, utilities, and construction, while a 100 job decline was experienced in financial activities, retail trade, and manufacturing. The city of Decatur itself has an unemployment rate of 7.8%, down from 8% this time last year. Numbers across central Illinois were mixed, although there were no locations with drastic changes over the past year. The June unemployment rate from other parts of central Illinois included Christian County, which was 5.9% compared to 6.2% a year ago, in DeWitt 5.4% and 5.3%, in Douglas 4.6% and 4.7%, in Logan 5.2% and 5.4%, in Moultrie 4.3% and 4.2%, in Piatt 4.9% and 5.1%, and in Shelby 5.6% and 5.8%. Unemployment across Illinois has stagnated, with June's 6% rate of unemployment the same as it was this time last year. 8 of Illinois' 14 metropolitan areas have seen a decrease in their unemployment rate over the last year.